All right, guys, we are back. Hour two, Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, Jay. We are so happy to be here at the top of hour two.
Hey, we got a podcast, by the way, View from the Cheap Seats, where we talk sports, kind of do what we do here every week. That's a lot of fun. And we have a daily podcast called Sklarbro Country, the Virus Edition. A lot of fun. We got some great tweets from you guys. Keep tweeting at us. We are at Sklar Brothers.
Read a couple of them, and then we've got Matt Weiner.
All right, Gus and Rip City, the Sklars. We're only one segment in. I'm ready to call it the best fill-in Jim Rome host in 2020 so far. We'll take it, bro. Thanks,
man.
Is Randy hosting the Jim Rome show or DJing Swingers Night at the Jimmy Buffett Retirement Community?
Hey.
At three for the geek.
I just stepped on a pop top.
Steven Norkel, Rutgers has opted out of the Big Ten for the last 6 years. I think he's right about
that. That's a great point. They did opt out.
And Gio. Jeff and Lincoln, what's wrong with me? Randy wearing that shirt on national television.
It's like, you know.
There you go. We got it.
We were talking NBA. Lou Williams is back and making statements. The bubble is in full effect. There are no positive tests as we speak right now. And St. Louis's own Matt Weiner joins us on the line. Matt, it is so good to talk to you again. How you doing, buddy?
Jason and Randy. Randy and Jason. My brothers.
Yes.
My man.
How are you? Good to talk to you as well. How is St. Louis relevant other than the fact we all come from there?
I mean, we just...
Let's all go gambling with the Cardinals and see how that turns out.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll go on the Alton Bell and just try and gamble on some riverboat gambling, which is never a good idea. Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So baseball is trying to do it in the weirdest way possible in terms of everybody plays in your own park. We're not going to really say where you're going to go.
You can say dumbest.
The dumbest way. The NBA has figured it out if they can just get Dwight Howard to wear a mask. The bubble is kind of working, right?
They're sealed up like Oscar envelopes.
Yes.
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 I mean, I had doubts about this thing. I was skeptical for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
When they made the announcement of how this was all going to work, first of all, I thought 22 teams was just too many because it seemed impractical to me. You've got traveling parties of, I think, 35 or 37, I forget the number. So you're talking about, 1,600 people, maybe 2,000 when you consider NBA personnel and all the folks who have to work at the resorts. And it just seems really hard to manage all that.
Right.
And yet, back-to-back, zero positives from testing. It's remarable. I thought eventually they'd be, folks would be sneaking people in.
Right.
Not just food and whatnot. And yet there seems to be a discipline that has somehow worked down there. And people are calling the commissioner directly to report.
Other
players.
That's right.
Amazing.
So a handful of complaints went to the commissioner, all made by Jim Harbaugh. Is that weird?
That's bizarre.
No,
I don't know.
A handful of complaints happened. Players kind of policing themselves in a way because I think it means something to them that they get through these playoffs, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you want to finish the season, and especially if you're on a contending team.
Of course.
You're going for it, right? You don't want this thing to blow up because, somebody on a team that's not going to make the playoffs anyway has crossed a line, literally or figuratively.
Right.
So, I kind of assume I think there are a couple of categories you can look at. Players on really good teams who have a chance to win something of significance.
Right.
And players with families who are concerned and maybe a little more mature and really taking this seriously.
Right. And the latter being by far the more important thing, but both things are equally, they're equally up there. And so...
And then you add on to the fact that we're not even talking about the fact that the games are good. You're watching the games.
Surprisingly good.
They're surprised. I've seen so many games. I mean, we're Clippers fans. We're open about that. But the Booker last second shot against the Clippers was unbelievable. The Clippers-Lakers opening
that
game.
That Clippers-Lakers fourth quarter. I mean,
it reminded me of the All-Star game this year.
It was
everyone's D-ing everyone up. LeBron's coming off guys and D-ing up two guys.
It was unbelievable. I mean,
I think you saw a little rust the first week or so, which is completely understandable after 4 months off.
Sure.
But the level of intensity was there right away.
Yep.
You can see varying levels of conditioning, but for the most part, I've been pleasantly surprised that I just haven't seen many guys who came in who were tubs of goo, as David Letterman used to put it.
Yes.
You just haven't really seen that. People were committed. They were apparently working out at home. You saw a few guys, notably Nikola Jokic and Marc Gasol, who came back
drop some weight.
Noticeably thinner.
That's right.
So, you know, they did the conditioning, they did the work, and they seem to be taking it seriously. And it's, you know, it's real basketball, and the games have been really good.
And you say to yourself, okay, for a guy like LeBron James, who's in his 18th year, the 18th or 19th year,
the 17th.
So the idea that he had that time off, I mean, it only made sense that that he would sit against the Rockets for load management. But no, I know he had a groin injury. But I mean, the idea that like he got the break he needed to go into this playoff run, it's the best thing that could have happened for him in that sort of a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be a blessing in disguise for a lot of veteran players and for some teams that were beaten up as well. Look at the Portland Trailblazers, right now, who are a completely different team than they were in March, with basically 40% of their starting lineup all of a sudden available because of the layoff. They've got a shot to make the playoffs where they probably would not have before, because Yusuf Nurkic, who was fantastic last night, and Zach Collins are now back in the lineup. And there are a few teams like that who've had players get healthier and overcome injuries and get back into the lineup. But, you know, LeBron is remarkable in so many ways in terms of his longevity and his endurance. But what you've seen, particularly over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, is how closely he pays attention to his body in the off season, and this essentially was another off season.
Right.
I'm not surprised by it at this point, but it's remarkable what kind of shape he comes in at his age and at this point in his career.
It's amazing because he is changing sort of maybe the way people view a 35, 36-year-old player. And I mean, I want to try and think back to like 38-year-old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, amazing player, incredible, but he looked like he was 48. You know what I mean? We just didn't have the same type of, I would say, nutrition and preparation that you do today. And like you said, LeBron really takes care of himself in that way. I'm looking at LeBron and Anthony Davis, and as great as Kyrie was, Anthony Davis to me is the best player he's ever played with. And I'm looking at these two guys, I'm like, he has a chance to win a couple more championships with this guy.
He's got a shot. I would agree. Anthony Davis is the most talented player that LeBron has ever had as a teammate. And that's no disrespect to Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh or Kyrie Irving.
Right.
But for what he does on both ends of the floor, I would also argue he's maybe the best in terms of complementary players LeBron has ever played with.
Correct.
Because Anthony Davis really is ultimately one of the great number twos of all time. He plays well off LeBron. Obviously, you can give him the ball and he can go score if he needs to, and defensively, he's a menace. But he really is better as a secondary guy to LeBron James. Having said that, you know, the Lakers they're a curiosity. They're obviously really good. They're great defensively. And I know it's the bubble, and they're not necessarily playing games that mean much to them in terms of the seeding, but their offense has stunk so far in Orlando. They're by far the worst offensive team of the 22 in terms of efficiency.
Right.
And I do have questions about them. Beyond those two guys offensively, do they have a third player who's a consistent, not just scorer, but a shot creator?
Kuzma is
the guy. If Rondo comes back late first round, early second round, that helps address that problem. Kuzma at times has looked great. Mm-hmm. At other times,
not
disappears
so great
a little bit, and maybe he's just not there yet.
Right. He may not.
Caldwell Pope at times can have games, but not consistent.
You
in
can't
the same
count
way
on him. You need that third person. I mean, Danny Green is a guy with shot making ability, but he just stands in the corner.
He's a catch and shoot guy, right? And that's why they have J.R. Smith on this team, and that's why they have Deion Waiters on this team, because if nothing else, they can create their own shots.
I didn't know they consistently make those shots.
That's different.
I didn't know they had J.R. Smith on the team. I didn't recognize him with his shirt on.
What about the Clippers? Let's talk about them, because a lot of people are saying the Clippers are the deepest team maybe in the NBA right now. I don't think there's any question. Go ahead. No, I just said they seem to be making what feels like they're the greatest run this organization has ever had with this team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is peak Clippers for sure. But, I mean, let's be honest. The bar has been set fairly low.
True that.
The history of this organization.
Sure.
I picked them last summer. Not that I'm big on, you know, picking, but if somebody asks me, I picked the Clippers over the Lakers last summer because of their depth and because of their defense. And then they got even deeper in February when they brought in the likes of Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris. They have, you know, Montrezl Harrell, who's not been available yet in Orlando, but assuming he's coming back, you've got Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams all coming off the bench. And if you go deep down on the bench, you've got guys like Patrick Patterson and Jamichael Green who've been pretty good, solid starters on other NBA teams. They have all kinds of depth. They haven't had help yet, but they're a great two-way team, one of only two teams in the NBA top five offensively and defensively. They've got unbelievable individual defenders.
Sure.
And as we've seen from Kawhi Leonard just last year, although it seems like
ages ago,
they've got guys who can hit shots in big games and win championships.
And they got a coach who's been there.
Absolutely. There and done it. So, I mean, which is something, you know, the Clippers, it's amazing to me because it feels like the heart and the soul of this Clippers team when they're going are two guys. And they're not the two guys you think of it. It's Trez and it's Pat Beverly. That is the heart and the soul of the team. So they can be have that dog get on the floor, fight for rebounds, literally pump the team up if there was a crowd there, the virtual crowd up.
Yep.
But that allows Kawhi,
the space for Kawhi.
It allows Paul George to be those guys to just focus on hitting shots and making plays.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I think Kawhi could play anywhere because he's the only NBA player who has a chance to equal his pulse rate in points on a given night. But 40? In an environment in which there are no fans, I think you hit on an important point that somebody like Patrick Beverly, who's going to bring incredible energy mm-hmm. and going to be the dog that a team needs, mm-hmm. that's huge on a day-to-day basis in a sterile environment like this bubble. And second, I don't discount the presence of Doc Rivers at all. That guy could coach me up for a visit to the DMB.
That's right.
I would listen to that guy in a huddle any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. And so it's amazing. And let's talk about it in the East because, obviously, Milwaukee locked up the number one seed. But Toronto is just
coming.
They're coming for they're playing outrageously. Isn't it amazing the addition by subtraction you lose?
I feel the same way, by the way, about OKC, addition by subtraction this year.
True, but I mean, can we just talk about Toronto and what they're putting together right now?
They're unbelievable. I put Nick Nurse at the top of my Coach of the Year ballot. I think they've been incredible.
He's
and
an essential
me, they
worker.
Remind me a little bit of the 04 Pistons team. And if the Raptors were to go on and win the championship, to me, they would be the first sort of ensemble cast to win the title since that Pistons group because they don't have an obvious top 5 or top 10 NBA player on their roster.
It's a great call.
And yet they know how to win.
Yep.
Great defense. They do enough offensively. You know, the questions would be, in late game situations, do they have the kind of shot maker that they obviously, you know, lost in Kawhi Leonard? It's a lot to ask from Pascal Siakam at this point in his career. Kyle Lowry is as tough as they come, but is he that guy necessarily? I don't know. But they're fun to watch. Nick Nurse will try anything, literally anything, to win a basketball game, whether they've practiced it or not. He's pulling out defenses that he learned in coaches clinics in high school in Iowa.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
If he thinks it'll help, he'll do it, and there's complete buy-in from his guys.
He's running the picket fence on him. We're talking to Matt Weiner, studio host, NBA on TNT and NBA TV. Does such a great job. By the way, the NBA TV is home to 14 NBA seeding games in 13 days. That's what's exciting.
It's getting me through this pandemic.
It is really exciting to watch. I love how you're hearing everyone talking. I do miss the fans, but I'm telling you, there is something cool about the way this game is being shot. Reggie Miller made a fantastic point. Green stepped on the line last night, and he said, it's interesting, these players, they're used to fans sitting in the front row. They know mentally where the out-of-bounds yeah. marker is, but without them there, you're having to recalibrate your brain. So there is a little bit of an adjustment to playing in this atmosphere.
For sure. I've seen that particular play a bunch of times since the restart on the opposite side of where the benches are because there's nobody there.
Right.
And guys step on that line a whole bunch of times. It's, you know, it's an adjustment, but from a TV point of view, I think the product's been pretty solid. I mean, you kind of get used to the pumped-in sound.
Yep.
I don't think much about it anymore. The virtual fan thing is kind of fun. It's so much better than an unlit dark background or whatever else they were going to choose from.
So I'm
fine with it. I'm in the studio anyway, typically, or at home, so I'm not necessarily going to games as much as fans are going to miss that. I think this has been pretty good.
So you brought up who takes the last shot for Toronto, and I'm thinking about the last two possessions in that Lakers Clippers game where the Lakers beat them. And you're talking about Kawhi, a shot maker, Paul George. He makes a big three going down the stretch to put them ahead. But in the last two possessions, the Clippers could not get off a shot against the Lakers defense. And you're right. That's what, when it comes down to crunch time, when we're talking about the best of the best teams playing, if you got a guy that can make that shot, you got a shot. Which is amazing. Dame Lillard is valuable. Luka Doncic is valuable in that moment, because if it comes down to that point, those are guys that can hit that shot.
Absolutely, and that's one of my questions about the Milwaukee Bucks right now And they're a great team, and Mike Budenholzer has done a fantastic job. I voted Giannis as the back-to-back MVP, and I think he's got a shot to become the first since Hakeem Olajuwon to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
But if you look at the clutch statistic on NBA.com, which is defined by games that are within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of the game,
right?
The Bucks have played fewer of those than anybody in the league because they've blown people out,
right?
And you saw their troubles in the playoffs last year in those situations, and even the other day, and I'm forgetting the opponent now, but Giannis in a close game, and he had a great statistical game and was fantastic most of the afternoon, but late in the game, got hung up in the air, made a terrible turnover.
Yeah.
Last year in the playoffs, 73 assists to 50 turnovers, which is not a really good ratio.
It's not a good ratio.
And those are the questions I have about the Bucks in late game situations, with Giannis being the guy handling the ball, and them just not having had to make shots late in games very often this season.
Well, I think it's going to be a fantastic, however it runs, because so much of the NBA is about home court advantage. I really do feel like in the playoffs, it has been so long since we've seen an eighth seed make a serious run, but
since the
Baron Davis Warriors. But I think this playoff and this whole tournament, the way it's going to go down,
it's like this is why I think the NBA has done it right, Rand. And what you're getting at here is that the NBA has, instead of trying to pretend like it's business as usual, they've embraced the weirdness and the otherness of what we're doing right now, and they've created something new that we can all enjoy for a few months, and we hope next year we're back to normal.
I think there'll be more parity, right, Matt?
There should be, right? Because home court is a huge deal. If you look over the history of the league, I don't remember the number, but it's something like 80% for game sevens.
Yeah.
The home team.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter at all. And aside from the matchups, the seeding doesn't matter at all.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
It opens up a whole bunch of possibilities.
So if you're a fan of any of those teams, any team in the playoffs, you got to look at your roster and
on the edge of the playoffs. You're a Portland Trailblazers fan. Get up.
Get up. Because it's exciting. Well, I'm excited to watch you cover it. Matt Weiner, NBA TV host. NBA TV, home to 14 NBA seeding games in 13 days. That is so exciting. Thank you for joining us, and I can't wait for this finish.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. Thanks for having me, and I have one question for the two of you.
Sure, let's hear.
I heard you pop your podcast before you introduced me.
Yeah.
And I thought of this during our conversation. Have you ever considered a podcast or some other production called Squared for Life?
Yes, we did it.
So the segment we used
to do. Oh, you've done it.
Well,
you've already done it.
So the segment we used to do on Jim Rome's Showtime show was called Squared for Life. I love it.
Oh, there you go.
Great minds think alike.
No, man, you're on it. And guess what? We're going to have you come to our podcast. So there we go. We did it on the air, and we're getting you to do it on the air. Matt Weiner, thank you so much for joining us. You're the best.
I'm in. Good to talk to you.
Matt Weiner, everybody, let's take a break.
Let's do it. I love talking NBA with that dude. He knows his stuff.
He does. He does such a good job. I loved him on ESPN. I think he's made such a great transition
Absolutely.
Over to NBA.
Trust him. I trust him.
We got great stuff coming up. We're going to talk hockey in the third hour. Ozzie Guillen may call. There's just good stuff all around.
PGA is still going on. We'll give you updates throughout the day.
This is the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on the CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right,
the babies,
The babies are rocking. This weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major.
Love it.
Brooks Koepka, will he take home his third consecutive Wanamaker trophy? Or will someone else step up to take their place? Koepka playing well. Could Tiger do it? PGA Championship is live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on CBS. And by the way, in a couple minutes, the TV broadcast here heads over to the Champions League, which is exciting. Very cool for
CBS.
We're
not going anywhere on the radio, though.
No, stick around and listen to us on the radio, on CBS Sports Radio. And again, for those on the TV who are watching us on TV, we'll be back next Wednesday with more fun and good stuff.
Another great shirt from Randy.
Yeah, who knows? You never know what you're going to get from me.
We still have, we're going to talk about Lou Williams a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk hockey, which is incredible and exciting right now, and try to get someone to help us figure out what the tournament, the round robin is before we get into
the actual
stuff.
There's a round robin. There's a round of duck, duck, goose where you just skate around people and knock them on the head. Todd Bertuzzi hits them from behind on the head. So there's that round.
There's a competition. There's a skills competition.
There's a swimsuit competition.
They're trying to recreate the movie Ice Castles. All
That's
that is happening. The ramp up to the playoffs.
Jake in Buffalo, my goal is always to be a super spreader outside the stadium. Thanks, Steve Garvey. Hang on a second. Isn't he putting together a group to buy?
Didn't he have a lot of kids? Didn't he father a lot of kids? He should have been a Padre.
He was the ultimate Padre.
Okay.
Love me some Sklar's on the show and can't wait to watch Sklarface. That's another one. Say hello to my double friends.
All right. So let's get into this, Ran.
A couple more. Yeah. I'd rather hear an air horn than be reminded about my bear horn. Hang on a second.
Hey,
Reese McGuire, when the organist played Beat It as his walk-up music. Did he really play Beat It? I don't think we can play Beat It anymore.
Not with kids in the crowd.
No, you can't. He tried to do that, and that was the problem. Playing football in your jeans like you're from Europe just made me blurt laugh so hard I startled my cat. All right, we're going to be going off TV, you guys. So enjoy the Champions League. Those on the radio, listen to us on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's keep it up.
Let's take a sports break. Are we going to take it now? No, we're not going to do it. We're going to stick on.
All right, let's stick around. I want to talk about the fact that The Rock bought the XFL for $15 million.
Okay, if you're listening on the radio, listen to that take. And if not, enjoy the Champions League on CBS Sports TV. All right, let's hop on this, okay?
All right, so...
The Rock, did you see this, Jay?
The Rock bought the XFL for $15 million. $15 million doesn't even pay for Jerry Jones's Hall of Fame party.
Yeah, wasn't that a $16 million one-night party? So if Jerry Jones ever claims, I don't have enough money to pay my players... Or the cheerleaders. Pay the damn cheerleaders. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are your brand.
Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders did like an 11-minute dance on the Love Boat.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are what's keeping people in the stands that now that you're 9-7, 8-8, 7-9 product every year, that's what you get.
So when I read that The Rock is going to buy the XFL.
The Rock Group.
Right. I was like,
that's what they should be called, the Rock Group. And as he gets older, they'll be the Soft Rock Group because he's going to lose some muscle mass.
Is there anything the Rock can't do?
Save the XFL, probably.
Okay, so it went south for Vince McMahon, a guy who thought he could save it. He tried to, you know, if anyone understands how to run a steroid-riddled league, I guess it would be him.
All right, calm down.
He's a big guy. He's like 80, but he's still jacked. I don't know. I don't even know if God could fix the XFL.
I don't know either.
Jesus would look at the XFL and be like, look, I can walk on water, but I can't
help this out.
I don't know what miracles you want.
Just because we're having kickoffs again doesn't mean this thing's going to work.
I think the problem with the XFL is that it was the hubris of McMahon.
That's right.
He thought, look, I can do this. But I can make this better than the NFL, but you can't. And I'll make this analogy, Ran, and this is where I think the XFL is making their mistake, and this is how I think they can fix it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be Cheerios, and they're Trader Joe's. You'll understand this because you look like you work at Trader Joe's.
Shirt. Yeah.
They're trying to be Cheerios, but they're Trader Joe's O's.
So lean into that.
Right. You're not Cheerios. No one's going to take a bite of you and be like, this is Cheerios. No. We know what it is.
You're not even Honey Nut Cheerios, Carmelo.
No, you're not. You're not going to be that. So don't try to be that. You're not going to beat the NFL. You don't have as good a quality players. So don't do it. We don't want it. I don't care if I'm on spring break. I still don't want it for breakfast.
That's right.
And the biggest mistake, in my opinion, that the XFL decided to do or hasn't decided to do is Why don't they become the NFL's G League? Why don't they unofficially or officially become the G League for the NFL?
I love this idea. Okay? I love this idea.
Become a developmental league for the XFL. It gives guys a chance to impress NFL scouts, earn a little bit of money. Let it be filled with all those guys who were great in college who didn't quite make it to the NFL. There are tons of guys like that. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of guys like that on great teams. Guys you loved in college.
Yep.
Guys that you said to yourself, this was my guy.
Where is that guy?
Where'd that guy go?
He's in the XFL. You want to see him? Like, it becomes the league where college stars can play again and
troubled stars can come back and play. Let it be last chance you for professional sports.
Netflix docked that up. You guys, I watched Cheer on Netflix. That was the Navarro College cheerleader documentary series. And I was like, this is good.
You'll watch that.
This is compelling. If you have that type of docuseries on Netflix.
If anyone can make something inspirational, it's The Rock. If yes. anyone can host a series about football, it's The Rock. If anyone who understands how hard it is to make a career in professional football, it's The Rock.
If anybody needs more work to do, let him be the narrator.
Show how hard it is to be a professional athlete. Show how hard it is to make it to the NFL. And show that you can still have a successful life and a career getting paid to play football, even if you don't make it to the NFL. This is the minor leagues. This is a chance for you to create something that is a developmental league. And here's my next twist. I say take players. Who cares? You don't have to have a draft. Let's just put these teams together, okay? Use guys who were big stars in certain areas, all right? Yep. Take a guy like, I'll use a frame of reference that we can understand as Michigan fans. Take a guy like Shea Patterson, all right? Shea Patterson tried to make an NFL team, got very close to making the Chiefs.
Cut.
Didn't happen. Cut. Where's that guy going to go? Put him on a team somewhere near
Ann Arbor.
Near Michigan, near Detroit. So now you had a lot of people.
Detroit doesn't have an NFL team.
Well, right. Someday maybe they'll get one. But like put players who are big in certain areas on these teams that come from those areas. You already have built-in fans. I bet you a lot of fans from around Michigan would be like, hey, I'll root for Shea Patterson in the spring.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at how this guy's doing. Mm-hmm. I'll support him and maybe see if he can make a run at the NFL. Johnny Manziel could work for the XFL, not on a team.
But as a custodian.
You know, concessions or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Johnny, idiot face.
But this is the thing. We can create something new. We said it before in the other. Embrace the other. Don't try to be the NFL. So you're never going to be the NFL.
That's why the NBA is succeeding. They're embracing the scenario that they're in and trying to make it as good as it can be using the parameters that they have.
And so give college football fans something beyond spring football to root for in the spring. Mm-hmm. Give them their old guys, the guys that just came out that you rooted for 4 years but didn't make it into the NFL. Give them a place to play for you so you can keep rooting for them. And instead of, you know, you can root for those games and watch those games in the spring instead of trying to poison trees on Toomer's Corner, right? And
there
that guy just died.
That guy just died.
But that's, to me, if you want to fix the XFL.
Is it wrong that I think he should be buried in Toomer's Corner?
Well, then maybe he'd poison it again.
Oh, that's true.
We don't know
that's
what true. He's capable
we
of
underground.
We don't
know what he's got under.
But that, to me, is the way that you fix mm-hmm. the XFL, or you create the XFL in the image of the G League for the NBA. And I know the NFL doesn't own the XFL, but maybe they can be part owners.
There you go.
So now you have a partnership and you are creating something with what is arguably one of the greatest marketed sports in America.
I love it. All right. Shall we take
it's
a break?
It's that easy.
Shall we take a break, guys?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Actually, I want to go to a sports update.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen. It's the latest sports update with, and this is a great guy. We haven't done tossed to him yet.
I'm excited to toss to him.
Are you ready to toss to him?
I'm ready.
Bob Huesler. Let's send it over to Bob Huesler with a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we are back. We are only on the radio right now, which
That's
is
right.
great. Feels good. It feels like
old school.
It's old school. We're rocking it the old way.
We got some tweets, Randy.
Do we have
Did you get
tweets?
A good tweet? You
yeah,
got
bring,
a funny tweet?
Yeah,
I'm trying to get them.
Tweets.
They're trying to load, and I'm having trouble loading.
That's how it goes.
It's load management.
Speaking
it's the load management.
Someone wrote a great tweet. Speaking of load, we have always been put on load management.
I'd never heard of anything called load management.
Sincerely, Antonio Cromartie.
So
that was a great joke.
That joke construction is a Rome Jungle joke construction. I love it. It still works for me.
Even though
everyone does it still.
Every time. By the way, we're going to talk hockey at the top of next hour.
Look at that.
Hockey on the Rum Show. I'm so excited to talk about the NHL bubbles. The two that
Tony Loughman's going to join us.
That's right. The two,
two things that are working right now in the world of sports and golf.
NFL and golf.
What's happening in golf?
Hao Tang Li, 8 under. I mean, making it so hard for Tiger. Was like, I did well. 2 under yesterday. He hasn't even teed off yet.
He's already maybe not going to make the cut.
He'll make the cut, but I mean, this is insane. Bryson DeChambeau, again, just did like a set of like push-ups, diamond push-ups, just while he was waiting to get on the tee.
Tiger's like lost 3 strokes just by sitting around.
Yeah,
that's waiting to get on the tee.
But one guy
on the field.
And I'm nervous about the guys that play in the afternoon as the wind picks up and the greens get firmer and you're just not holding your shots. You might hit a great shot and then it just rolls off the back of the green. That's going to be an issue.
Fog's getting thicker.
It happens.
And Leon's getting larger.
Okay.
All right. Shall we jump into this?
Let's do this take before we finish up hour two. I can't believe hour two is almost already over. This is how much we love doing this show.
I agree.
Let's talk about LA Clippers guard Lou Williams, who's back. He's back in the bubble.
Grieving the loss of a mentor for weeks, but that, again, overshadowed by his decision to stop and eat at a gentleman's club after attending the viewing. Mm-hmm. The reigning sixth man of the year spoke for the first time since emerging from the 10-day quarantine. So he finally spoke up. Finally.
Here we go. We're going to get your explanation,
after
Lou.
After going to one of his favorite places to eat, the Magic City Gentleman's Club in Atlanta during his excused family absence. So he said, it's extremely difficult, man. I was truly grieving 2 weeks ago. And by the way,
Totally get that.
The league totally got that. The league was like, take your time, man.
They let him out of the bubble.
You're grieving. Even though this isn't a family member, this is a mentor. Go out of the bubble, but be smart, bro.
You're not going out of the bubble for your niece's quinceanera.
They're going to let you go out of the bubble for a gender reveal party where you dunk the ball and then pink glitter comes out so we know that it's a girl. No, the league is being judicious about guys, how guys can leave the bubble and how they should do it.
Zion Williamson left the bubble and then he came back in the bubble.
Came back immediately. He used judgment in this scenario that didn't equal the judgment that he used back when he was at Duke.
Yep.
So when you said your mentor passed away, the league was like, all right.
That's a case worthy. You can go out of the bubble. Go.
That should have been taken as a huge responsibility on your shoulder. I mean, you're not a Major League Baseball player. You are near the finish line of your season.
So that's the difference a little bit, too, with this NBA season is that they've played most of the season.
Same with hockey.
This is a result. Unlike baseball, these results are the culmination of a great season that we already watched.
Does anyone say that Tim Duncan's strike-shortened championship
doesn't count?
No, it counts
because they all played the same amount of games.
Do we say he won 4.5? No, he won 5. So this season will be considered a season down in the books. And also, you're on a team with a legit shot. We just talked to Matt Weiner.
He said the Clippers are the deepest team in the league.
And again, I was talking about this with Hawk in the break. Garrett in the break, when we were talking about those last two possessions when the Clippers were playing the Lakers, I was like, they can't get a shot up. Anthony Davis and LeBron James are playing defense on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they can't get a shot up. You know who they could have used there? Lou Williams.
But he was in quarantine.
Right. And then you went to Magic City and allowed yourself to be photographed there next to a white rapper. There's so much wrong with all of that.
Yes.
This was stupid for you to go.
Unless it's our buddy Mac Lethal from Kansas City.
That's the only time we're on board with that.
That's my man.
It's a strip club. How good can the wings be? Nobody says you want to go for lunch. Where are we going for lunch?
Houston's. Y'all? You want to go to Houston's?
Let's go to Shake Shack. No, let's go to the local strip club. They've got great wings.
Strip club.
Strip club, gang.
Get some scrimps.
If someone said strip club, you could smack them across the face and that would be okay. Nobody chooses a strip club for the food. A strip club that has good food will have bad strippers.
Yeah.
They're focusing too much on the food.
It's
like saying your basketball team has the best 12th man in the league.
Or the best uniforms in the league. Who cares?
Who cares? Nobody's showing up to the game to see how good your 12th man is on the bench.
It's like a magician with a six pack. And we may have even spoken about this.
I think we've spoken about this on this. Chris Angel in Vegas. There was a billboard of him, and he had a six-pack.
Shirt off, and the dude's got a six-pack.
He's got six-pack abs.
Congratulations for having six-pack abs.
That's you're spending too much time on your abs.
Yeah.
When you're doing magic, you need one ab. Abracadabra.
That's it.
That's the only ab you need.
That's magic. And speaking of magic, let's get back to Magic City and Lou. And Lou's thought process for going there outside the bubble. This is what I wanted to hear. He's in quarantine for 10 days. I want to hear what was going through his mind. He said, I was really going through something. I was thrown under the bus. You know what I'm saying? Life throws you under the bus. That's right. You lose your mentor. That's
right. Well, I don't know if thrown under the bus. Like, thrown under the bus would have mean that someone accused him of not being there for his mentor, and then that's why he died.
Or,
that's being thrown under the bus. I think
you were
feeling like you were hit by a truck because you were so devastated by the loss. All right, that's one thing. Thrown under the bus, I don't think that's the right
feeling. Phraseology. Low. Maybe right. You needed some wings for Magic City. I get it. Have them delivered.
Wasn't there? There's a strip club up in Portland that pivoted.
Yeah,
and they used their strippers to deliver the food.
Yep.
Which
and they called it Boober Eats.
Okay. I would have gone with Polemates.
Polemates works.
That works.
I think Grubhub still works. Meals on Heels.
I don't know. Yeah, but like
that's a weird moment though, because whenever you get food delivered, there
and we're all doing it right now.
We're all doing it right now. There's always that moment you look in the bag, you're like, oh, wait, I ordered the green salsa, not the red salsa. We only got red salsa.
Can you? And they're like, sorry, that's what I brought. And you're like, can you call
your manager? And say, so now you're.
Can you take that charge off because they charge us extra for it? So now you're in a logistical conversation
with a woman with her shirt off.
And then she's calling, and you got to look at her car, and you're like, I don't want to see a stripper's car.
You don't want to see a stripper's car. You don't want to see that she's got both headlights are out.
Oh, and I see a car seat.
Oh, there's a baby in the car.
Oh, come on.
Problem with ordering food from a strip club is no matter what you order, you're going
to
get
crabs. It comes back to... You're going to get crabs. It comes back to what we said before, which is do not go to a strip club for food. Do not. You don't want to do that.
By the way, get someone else to drive to the place. You're Lou Williams. You're supposed to be in the bubble. Curbside pickup. I'm sure you could do that.
Yeah.
Everything you're talking about and feeling is legit, but you cannot go out. You have to stay clean as far as COVID standards go. If you went into a strip club, you could probably catch swine flu or avian bird flu from back in the day.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. You think they're clean? When was the last time a strip club vacuumed its carpet?
Jesus.
And that means on all fronts. You can take that to mean whatever you want it to mean.
I think you can barely eat at a Hooters.
Well, here's what he said. All attention turned to Magic City because it's a gentleman's club. I feel like if I was at a steakhouse or Hooters or whatever, it wouldn't be a story. Well, that's where you don't get it at all, Lou Williams. You shouldn't be out anywhere. You're in the NBA bubble. They haven't had a positive test. Dwight Howard is walking around in the bubble saying, I'm Superman. I don't have to wear a mask. And everyone's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
So you can't go to a Hooters, Lou Williams. People would be freaking out. You can't go to a steakhouse.
The fact that he thinks this is only about Magic City... And he's getting roasted for this. It shows that he just doesn't get it, Rand.
Williams explained that the funeral home he went to for the viewing of Paul G. Williams, the father of one of Lou Williams' friends, was close to Magic City, where he often eats. Doesn't matter.
I don't care how close.
I don't care if it's next door. I don't care if the funeral home is in the champagne room. You don't go to Magic City.
Nope.
Curbside pickup. He then says... Quote, it's been documented how much I talk about this place, how much I eat there. Where has it been documented?
In the Wall Street Journal?
Strip Club Monthly? NPR? Where is it documented, Lou Williams? He said, I just did something.
The Onion?
He said, I just did something that was routine for me. Yep. At a time when we should not be doing anything routine, you just did something routine. No, it's not a normal time. You don't do anything that's routine. Your routine should stay in the bubble.
I used to hug people. That was routine for me. That's not happening anymore.
Guess what your routine is now? No detours. That's your routine.
Your routine is out of the bubble, back into the bubble, don't see a soul.
This is what it would be like if you brought the ball up past the half court line and then to drive to the lane, you run it into the locker room and then come back. That's out of bounds, man. You went out of bounds.
You're just like, hey, I'm used to doing that.
You cost your team the ball. And yes, I know how much you like the towels in the locker room, Lou. They're the best towels in the world. The softest you've ever seen. But you can wait until the game is over to rub them all over your face. This goes for this place
and
Magic City.
Yes.
He said, I frequent that place at that time of day, 5:30, 6 in the afternoon. 6 is not the afternoon. That's what I'm going
to
say.
So he's trying to make the evening the afternoon. As soon as you start saying 6 is the afternoon, then I'm like, I don't know if I can trust
that. That may be the most egregious here. Anyone who tries to convince you that the afternoon is the evening will also try and convince you that Magic City is a great place that you go for wings.
There it is, right there.
I don't care, Lou, if you are eating there at 8 p.m. in the morning. All right. There are strippers there and other people to take pictures with. You're exposing yourself to the population.
You're exposing yourself to a population that I'm assuming is not really taking all the precautions when it comes to COVID.
No masks are happening at Magic City. At a time I thought that was making a responsible decision, after looking back on it with everything going on in the world, the pandemic, maybe it wasn't the best quality decision. I chalk that up to what it is and take my L and keep moving. That's the best thing he could have said. He should have led with that. Too bad it came after that he went there at 6 p.m. in the afternoon. Take the L and keep moving.
Learn from it.
Go back and tell Dwight Howard to put on a mask. He is going to want to whenever he's around you. That is what happens.
All right.
But I do like that he made a comment.
Good for him.
I do like that he made a comment.
And I love the guy as a fan of the Clippers.
Hour two is done. In the books, Matt Weiner was awesome. That was amazing. And we're going to talk hockey.
Tony Loughman. We're going to talk some NHL.
I love when you talk hockey.
And we're going to talk hockey, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of this break.
And then Ozzie Guillen on the show. You don't want to go anywhere.
You do not want to go anywhere. We are having such a good time. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. Thank you, Jim Rome, on CBS Sports Radio. One more hour to go. Finish it up with us, guys.